Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for tuning in. We pray that you are preparing for a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful Christmas. Amen. We're praying that you are preparing for a wonderful Christmas. This evening, we would like to go in and begin to talk about the Nativity. We'd like to talk about the Nativity. And that's coming from the scriptures of Luke 2, 6 through 16. Luke 2, 6 through 16. And as we go through this, we would like to remind you that we are an interactive Bible study. We are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that we would like for you to participate as we are going through the scripture and just discussing scripture. We would like for you to participate if you would like to. And if you're listening by internet, keep in mind that the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's the call-in number is 347-237-4054. And within that opportunity, we you just call in, and normally we usually have you, we normally have you to push the number one, but what we're going to do, we're going to open it up and get all the mics, and all you have to basically do is just talk, okay? All you have to do is just talk. Again, you're coming from the booth. That's one of the things that we have with technology. One of the things that we have technology is that when you have a problem with technology, you can have a problem. It's just a matter of just trying to troubleshoot it to make sure that everything is together. And sometimes it takes a few minutes. Sometimes we're able to get through that, and sometimes it's not. It's been kind of a rough day on my end, just coming from a funeral. Dear aunt that just passed, so bear with me, please. With, you know, if I appear to be a little off task this evening, we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to open it up, open up the mics, and invite you to participate. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just allow us, Heavenly Father, to abide in you, and you abide in us. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this holiday season, Heavenly Father. A season, Heavenly Father, where it is a time, Heavenly Father, to share oneself. And Heavenly Father, we know that that the gifts, Heavenly Father, are appropriate, Heavenly Father, but the greatest gift that we can ever share is the love one for another. And we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that all the hearers, Heavenly Father, that are listening at this time, and all those that participate, Heavenly Father, that we would all be on one accord. Father, we realize, Heavenly Father, that the greatest gift that you gave us is when your Son, Jesus Christ, came, died, resurrected, and gave us life, that we might have life more abundantly. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. And, Lord, Father, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that as we move into your word, Heavenly Father, Lord, I would ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would be all on one accord, Heavenly Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, we thank you. As we move in and we talk about nativity, we talk about nativity. In the book of Luke, the shepherds visit Jesus at the time when the shepherd visits Jesus. And at this time, when we look at, we talk about, for Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, and Joseph's ancestral home was the home of Joseph, who was the descendant of David. Amen. And we're going to get even further into that. We're going to get further into that. Luke 2, and it says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth and peace and goodwill to men." On earth, peace and goodwill to men. Now, as we go through this, the first one I would like to bring out and discuss is, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And if we look at this, and we look at it in terms of where we are in this time now, accommodations, making accommodations for those who have no place, making accommodations. This is a time that we, the body of Christ, should be making room for those who have no place to stay, or they may be lacking accommodations. And when I think about that, I think about the homeless. The homeless. How many homeless do we come across, or do we pass, without offering something? We look at the homeless, we look at where they're living, and we just pass by because it appears like it's just a natural thing that we may see. And what I'm looking at here is, this is saying to me that as Christians, as the body of Christ, we should be finding room. We should be finding room. Why? Because that is the responsibility of the Christians, the responsibility to look out for those who are underprovided and underprivileged, those who have more than we have, making our responsibility to find accommodations, at least. That should be done on a daily basis, but at least for this holiday season, going out and doing something for someone else, making accommodations, providing for them, those who are underprivileged, those who, if you give the smallest gift, they are appreciated. And when I see this here, when I read this, that's where it takes me. And even though it's talking about the firstborn son wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was Jesus Christ, a baby boy, because at the time we were born to sin. We were born to sin. And when you really began to start to look at the Old Testament, the underprivileged, there were those who had more and less. But the underprivileged, Jesus Christ came for the underprivileged. And if you and I were in that group, we would be considered the underprivileged. Those who are less than others. So when I look at, again, I look at the nativity, when I look at the Christmas holiday, when I look at the Christmas spirit, that should be a time that we're not only making room for ourselves, but we are making room for others who have less. Going out and seeking those who are considered homeless, going out and seeking those who are underprivileged, who have less, and providing for them at this time. Those who have no room, no place. Sometimes we take for granted what we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we take for granted what we have. We come into our home to a warm environment. We go to the refrigerator. We can eat at will. We have clothes provided for us. But there are those who are underprivileged who have less than that. Less than that. And as we're going through this, and being that this is the Christmas spirit, and we are an interactive Bible study, I want to keep the mic open for you to make comment as we go through this scripture. Any comment? Any comments? We are talking about the underprivileged. We are talking about those who are less fortunate. Any comments?
You know, Brother Speaker, I was just listening to you were saying that we take things for granted.
Yes, sir.
And I agree with that. We do. We take things for granted. And I was just speaking with some friends the other day and today at work about how we have so much, but yet we have so much to throw away. We was talking about throwing away food, and I learned at a very young age that you need to be grateful for what you have, simply because we could have, if not for the grace of God, we could be that homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We could be the very ones that's sitting on the corners, begging and pleading for somebody to help us or to give to us. And I know that sometimes as Christians we get caught up and we say, "Well, I don't know what they're going to do with the money, or I don't know how they're going to approach me, or I don't know what they're going to do with this or that." But see, I've always reminded my people that we don't need to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
We simply need to, all we need to worry about is doing our part.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as Scripture says, that we are to look after the poor, the widows, and the orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And that is our duty.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree, like I said, I do agree with you that we do take everything for granted,
mm-hmm.
because we don't see the grass on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And when you just piggybacking off of what you're saying, that oftentimes when we do take that speckle out of our eye and we see the reality of what's around us. I believe that God gives an extra blessing for stepping out of your comfort zone to do something for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That comfort zone, you know, mm-hmm. doing things that you don't normally do, that you may be uncomfortable doing. And I believe there's a blessing. Anytime that we bless someone else, there's a blessing coming right back to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was saying to my people Sunday morning in the message that we were giving that oftentimes instead of doing things for other people with a hand up,
mm-hmm.
you hear me? With a hand
yes, sir.
Up, praising God for what we're able to do, we tend to always do for people with a hand out, expecting
mm-hmm.
something in return. And the Bible clearly tells us that to lend, expecting nothing in return,
right?
Or to give and not expect anything in return. For people
that's
don't
right.
understand that our blessings will come. Our blessings will come if we would just do. Let me see. Where is it? It's in Luke. Luke 16, I believe it is 16 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
If we would just do what that Good Samaritan done, and don't worry about how much money we have or how much money we're going to be left with. Don't worry about
mm-hmm.
getting food out of our refrigerator. Don't worry about
mm-hmm.
this and don't worry about that. Just do what we're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
God would do what He said He would do. Amen.
Do the right thing. That should be our motto, because we're blessed to be a blessing, not blessed to get blessed.
There you go.
Blessed to be a blessing.
That's right. And
the Lord continues to bless us so that we're, like people used to say, we're His hands and feet here on earth,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Huh?
And we have to remember, too, that, and especially once you're saved, and if you're spend any time at church, sometimes people get haunted, just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees,
mm-hmm.
and forget about the people that, you know, the people that are on the street. Forget about the poor people, the average working person, you know, the working class, because
mm-hmm.
they don't have it, because they don't speak the right words or wear the right clothes or drive the right car. But the Lord came, and it's in a humble manner to show us that even though He was a king, even though He's King of Kings, He was born King of Kings. He didn't become
mm-hmm.
King of Kings. He was born King of Kings. That He was in the loneliest place that He could be. And who did He reach out to? Who was first alerted? And that was the shepherd. The shepherd's God. And the shepherds, that was like the worst profession that you could have. Because they were bound, they were out all the time. There's a lot
yeah.
of static on the line. But they were, that was a lowly profession also. So He came to the shepherd, to the people that smelled, to the people that were dirty, to those that lived, you know, that didn't have high means. He came to know to minister to those people who didn't have, who thought that they had no hope, that there was no hope for them, and
mm-hmm.
they were not included with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the rich, you know, the wealthy Romans and the wealthy Jews. They weren't included in that group.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, you know, I just want to interject, you know, God bless everybody. You know, I just want to interject on that. If we can see somebody on the street and if our heart doesn't go out, you know, if we can't feel that individual, and then even go over to that individual, it comes down to a heart thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, the Bible talks about how man's heart is going to wax cold. And even us in the body of Christ, we have to take self-inventory of where we are. You know, because before we could go out, we have to go in. We have to go in and not only seek God, but seek His heart, seek His
Amen.
Passion. And His passion is for those that are unaccommodated or in need, those that are in need of salvation, and not just salvation. He wants us to go for those that are in need of materialistic things, because the Word of God says He will give us everything pertaineth to life and godliness. Life meaning the things of life. Godliness.
Yes, yes.
Godliness is those things of God. And what we need to do, like I said before, is examine our love walk. We have to have the love of Christ to show love to our fellow man. And that's what God did. God sent his son, his only begotten son, to love on us. And that's what we need to be doing, loving on others instead of loving on ourselves so much. You know, because when we go, when we become self-centered, we can't become God-centered, meaning letting God move on us to do that is pleasing in his sight. And I just wanted to share that. You know, we really have to think about our love walk. Hey, yeah. You know, our love walk.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't it, and I just want to say this before we move on, isn't it amazing that this subject that we're on right now is a very touchy subject for me, simply because, and I feel it right now because I was in a situation to where I was trying to get to a meeting for one of our pastoral meetings, and there was a lady begging on the street, and I did not take time to stop and give this lady anything when I should have. And to keep me from being late to where I was going, I passed this lady on by. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. My heart got ripped out when I done that. My heart got ripped out once I got to the church, and God really showed me that, see, you had time to stop and do, and you also had the resources to at least buy a sandwich or buy, you know, something. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's done this before. It's just roll by somebody and not help in some way. I mean, and if any of y'all feel the love of God that I feel and the Spirit of God that I feel, your heart would get ripped out from that.
But you know what's so you know what's so good about that, Pastor, is that that Holy Spirit convicted you.
Yes,
he
ma'am.
Convicted you. And I thank God for that, because there's a lot of us in the body of Christ where the Holy Spirit is dormant. You know, we walk down and we walk up and down the street, and we don't feel like you just felt, Pastor. You didn't. A lot of us don't feel that conviction. And that's what God does. He judges the heart, and he sees the motive behind. And, you know, when we can come back and say, Lord, forgive me, I'll do better.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. He said, forgive me, I'll do better. He knows that you will, because he's even in our mess, he gives us messes, or in our mistake, or in our not taking that opportunity. One thing about God, he'll give us another opportunity to show his love.
Amen. Yes, he does.
And that's what we're talking about, the love of God.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to utilize.
Hallelujah.
It's a good subject, Brother John.
Yeah,
as we move even further, we're going into, we're talking to those who just tuned in, Luke 2, and I'm even changing to 7 to 14. I didn't say 6 to 18, but 7 to 14. And it says, this is now there in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, when I look at this, I think of the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant. When we spoke about shepherds. Shepherds. A shepherd is someone who their home is the earth. Their home is the earth. They are providing food off of the earth. A shepherd is someone who is always smelling, always has a smell, and they are also the underprivileged, according to those that live in this city. When you start talking about shepherds, those are the ones who are underprivileged. Those are the ones who live, who are homeless. They don't even have a home. Now, when we go even deeper into that, let's look at the Davidic covenant. David was a shepherd.
Yeah,
now, look what God did with him. Look what God did with him, the Davidic covenant. We wouldn't even be talking about the nativity had that not been through the lineage of David.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he was a, God used a lowly shepherd like David to bring forth the greatest gift that we could ever have, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. And instead, they showed around him and they were greatly afraid. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. Or even worried. We're not even supposed to worry. We're not even supposed to fear. But they feared. Why? Because it was the unknown. They heard this angel. This angel, the Lord stood before them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They were greatly afraid. Fear of the unknown. When we start talking about the unknown, Jesus Christ, when he comes into our lives, let me tell you something. We don't know where he's coming, when he's coming, but when he comes,
that's right.
He's here. And everybody knows about him. He can turn a church upside down. The Holy Spirit upside down. And we get to the point of where we begin to start to decrease from who we are. Because then God can use us even more. And that's why I'm going into this big covenant. God made a covenant with David, a shepherd, the one who had the promise of David's lineage. He had a promise. Now imagine working through the body of Christ because of the stand that we take. Not afraid to go to the unknown. Not afraid to provide for the underprivileged. Not afraid to do for those who have less than we do. Going out into Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world and being a provider, whatever we come in contact with. And my brother, I just think about when you walk past that person and your heart was torn out, that just shows the love of God that he had within you. That's right. And then it's something that works for you because of time. You're trying to get to one place, and even though that you arrived there on time, things weren't right within you. And that was the Holy Spirit that was created within you. And if everybody can have that spirit, that they, when they see something in need, that we respond, not because of our own agenda, but the agenda is supposed to be about those on the outside.
Uh-huh.
Those living on the outside. Those who are underprivileged. Those who are less fortunate. And that's where we're going with this spirit, this nativity. It's about giving to others.
Mm-hmm.
Giving to others. Thomas, Mike,
Wow.
Mm-hmm. God.
Well, John. I was, when you start talking about giving, that is also a touchy subject for a lot of people. And as I deliver the message on Sunday, my message was, what are you giving, or to whom are you giving? And that's why this subject that you have tonight takes me back to Sunday, and I talked about, you know, Isaiah said in the ninth chapter and the sixth verse, he said, unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And then I kind of like went over to John 3:16, For the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave. And that's what we are now, right now. We're just so afraid, I think, to give. Because as I said earlier, if we're not getting anything back, then we feel like that we can't give anything out. And I think when it comes to helping and serving the poor, the widows, the orphans, as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to serving and helping them, they don't have anything to give back.
Mm-hmm.
So we are as Christians. I think I'm ashamed. I'll be honest with you. I'm ashamed to see how some of our Christian people are today when it comes to inviting people into the service or giving into some kind of ministry to help other people. But you know, and you was talking about the fear of the unknown. You know, I know that the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I understand that, but ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it something that we are afraid of the unknown, even as Christians? These shepherds that was keeping watch over their flock, minding their own business. But when the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, had shined round about them, it said they were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrified. And I'm just wondering how many of us, if we were out somewhere and the Spirit of God would show himself to us, how many of us would be afraid as these shepherds were?
Yes.
If we would keep in mind, and this is what God has been telling, the Lord has been telling me, if we would keep in mind who we are the carriers of the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
And everything that we do, everything that we say should exemplify who we are in the kingdom, who he is in us.
Uh-huh.
When we step into a room, glory should step in. Meaning
that's
not of our own self, but because we are the carriers of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
God should step in. When
that's
we
right.
step into a room, everyone should know that the kingdom of God has just stepped in. See, and this is why it's so important for us to stay before him. So important for us to seek him. He says, seek me while it's yet day, for night cometh when
no man
shall work. And what that is, we know what that is. But we should be striving to show our, not to show our best, but to be. Not to show, but to be.
To be. That's right.
To be who he is.
That's right. That's
we
right.
are an example of the kingdom of God, the carrier.
Amen.
Of, and just like Elder Susan said, she said that I lost my thought. Oh, Holy Spirit. Mm.
It's all right.
We're supposed to show who Christ is. What she said, but we're supposed to show who he is. I'll get it back, what she said, because it was so poignant what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was so poignant. Amen. What she was saying.
Amen.
Amen. Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
Hallelujah.
The devil is a liar, but yes?
Are you finished? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you remember what you wanted to say?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just.
Because I was going to tie in what she was saying. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Fear of the unknown.
No. Mm-hmm.
Fear of the unknown. When you were talking about that in terms of fear of the unknown, isn't that why we become afraid? Because we don't have anything tangible that's going to come back. Giving someone and not an when we work, what do we work? We're expecting to get paid.
That's right.
That's our mindset. That's our mindset. From the spiritual point of view, when we work for God, when we get paid, it's not something we can tangibly put our hands on or see. Fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Fear of the unknown. Afraid to move out by faith. Because we're feeling that it's not going to come back. And that's when your faith is tested. That's when you're tested. When you do it in spite of, when you do something in spite of, when you give from your heart in spite of, and not expecting anything back. I think that when we're expecting things back, I think oftentimes they don't come back.
Right.
Because we're not giving out of the love of Christ.
That's right.
When we do it with no expectations, when we give with no expectations, that's where we're supposed to be. Because that's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ gave, and he didn't expect anything back.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't expect anything back. Everything that he does not expect anything back. All
that's
he
right.
does is simplify love. Love. The greatest gift that we've got. And love conquers all.
The greatest.
It conquers all. That person that we give to out there that we feel, well, you know what, this is my last $5. That person we give to, God, I crazy enough to believe that God fills our pockets up from doing something like this, from giving our all, that God comes back and fills our pockets up when we live that gifted.
But for me, I mean, just doing that and being led by the Holy Spirit to just do, that's my reward. Seeing that individual's face. Or feeling that good feeling in me to know that I did something for Christ. And you know what? Not even thinking about it, like you said, brother, not even thinking about it. Yes, God will bless us down the road. But in that moment, we're just thinking, oh, I done blessed somebody in the name of Jesus. And with that, feeling, I can go and say, wow, my living wasn't in vain because I made somebody's day.
Yeah,
even if it was a smile or an encouraging word.
Yes, made a difference.
Or an uplifting thought for them or a thought of encouragement. You know, it's a wonderful thing.
You know, that is great to know that we sometimes don't understand how our blessings will come back to us. And a lot of us as people, we always look, okay, if I bless in this area or that area, then God is going to fill my pockets. And he's going to give me this money. But I tell my people, it don't always come in monetarily gifts.
That's right. Amen.
your blessing, can come you could say, well, I got a bill paid off. That's my blessing.
They're famous. Amen.
Let's just be simple about it and put it this way and say, Lord, I woke up this morning. You know,
there you go.
That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
And we are looking to God for money.
Yeah,
and looking to God for what He can give to us all the time. We always want Him to give. Watch this. We are people who are full of unforgiveness. A lot of people are full of unforgiveness. The Bible says that if you want to be forgiven, then you must forgive. Then. It's also that if you want to be given something, then you must give. So God will bless you. Let me tell you, brother, sister, I can be on this phone all night and tell you how good God has been and how he has blessed me in so many ways, and it's not being with money. I mean, it's just, you know. To me, it's a blessing to see somebody come to church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing to me, God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Any more comments?
Move on.
Verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
Thank you.
You're just talking about, you know, Pastor, you're talking about in terms of people coming. You know, what you're doing is bringing awesome news to those that have never heard.
Yeah.
As a mouthpiece for God, you're bringing awesome news. I bring to you good tidings, telling them about someone, Jesus Christ. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when a young thought about it. When we have the opportunity to spread the gospel, it doesn't make a difference who we are, where we are, that's awesome news to be able to do that. And nowadays, when you start talking about Jesus Christ, that's not a topic that anybody wants to talk about. That's not
that's
awesome news. Is what's happening, you know, with the rappers. What's happening in the news with the actors? That's awesome news. What's going on with fashion? That's awesome news. But to tell someone about Jesus Christ,
yes,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, brother, every opportunity we get, we need to tell somebody.
Amen.
A lot of people don't want to hear it, but you know, you got to, as Paul said, to speak boldly as you ought to speak.
Amen.
And to stand firm on the word of God.
Amen.
And as the scripture says here, it says, I'm reading the NIV, so it might read a little different. It says, today, in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you.
Yes, sir.
He is Christ, the Lord. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow. And you talking about bringing good tidings of great joy. Just talking about the goodness and talking about this little baby that was laying in a manger. Just talking about him and thinking about the state that he was in at that time, but yet he was good news.
Yes.
He was good news.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because he is Christ our Lord.
Amen.
He is Christ.
Amen. 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 You know, Pastor, when we speak the word of God, when you're talking about Jesus Christ, that is the greatest name we can even think of or even utter, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Some people don't have to say much. All they're just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And there's just power in the name of Jesus. And imagine what's happening when you're speaking into the spirit of others, talking about Jesus, bringing what's inside of them dead to life.
Yeah.
Recognizing who Jesus Christ is in their life. Then you can wake up in the morning, like you said, and thank God because you woke up.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's not
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm. Have anybody other than I been in a position to where they have spoke
to someone about Christ and prophesy to them about Christ and just watch the glory, just watch the glow that comes upon their face, the smile, you know, that comes upon their face when they light up and they learn of this man named Jesus, our Lord. Has anybody else other than me ever seen that?
Yes. Mic's open. There's a question out here. The mics are open.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to take it back off that screen. Yes. Anytime Jesus Christ is mentioned, if someone is taking time out, then they begin to light up. Because usually there's something that they're going through. There's something that they're going through that they can't handle, but they know that they're out of their control. And when you start talking about what Jesus could do in their life, and they began to start to see their life turn around even before it happened. I can see right over there.
Yeah.
Someone is giving them a solution to their problem.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth lying in a manger. Witnessing. We just talked about that. Witnessing about the birth of Jesus Christ and who he is. This is a season that we witness. We do it all the time. But this, to me, is even a greater sign of witnessing about the babe in a manger who came to save the world.
Wow. Oh, my God. It's amazing that we celebrate Christmas and not being about Christ. It's amazing how I see it all the time, how people celebrate Christmas and it's about gift giving. And people have lost the real meaning of what Christmas is all about. The real reason we have Christmas is because of whom? Because of Christ. I mean, and we get so caught up in the gift giving, and we forget about the real gift that was given.
Yes.
And he says, the scripture says, you will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. Wow. Wow. He left glory. He left glory. He left riches. He left everything in heaven. He left streets of gold to come down here and walk on streets of rock and dust.
Yes.
He left all of that to come down here and become poor, to live the life that we live, except the life of sin.
Yes.
He's done all of that. And then, you know what I said to people? I said, you know, the Bible says foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of God had no place to lay his head.
No place to lay his head. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
But you will find him laying in a stall, in a manger.
Yes.
Whew. Excuse me.
Yes.
And may I just say this?
Yes,
Holy
ma'am.
Spirit just gave me this enlightenment as far as Christmas. Christ mass. Christ in us reaching the masses. Christmas. The Christ in us reaching the masses. Christmas. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Christ in us reaching the masses is Christmas. It is Christmas. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, thank you, Jesus.
We've had a wonderful time sharing. I'm going to give, you know, because we have Christmas, and to those of you that are listening by internet, we pray that that you were fed, just by the conversations that we had. And if any time that you would like to tune in to 337-237-4054. We will connect you in. This is an interactive Bible study. We just come together, just talk about the love of Christ. The love of Christ. And that's what we need to do. I'm going to give each one of you a few minutes to share something. Share whatever you would choose as we go through the closing. Come to the closing. Pastor, we're
going to
start off with you.
Yes, I would like to just say this to each of you. You know, I've only talked to you all by phone. I've not met you all in person. I don't even know your names. But with this spiritual connection that we have, I pray God's blessing upon each one of you. I pray that He will seal this Christmas season with whatever joy that He has for each of you. I pray God's joy upon you, and to remember that the joy that you have, the world didn't give it to you. And I pray that you don't let the world take it away. With all the drama and all the confusion that's going on in our world today, I pray that you would keep the love of Christ in your heart, keep Jesus first in your life, and continue to press forward to that higher calling, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. I pray that upon you today. God bless you. I love you. Peace and blessings to each one of you.
Hallelujah. 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 631.
No, I can't say anything else. That right there was wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I can't say nothing else.
Amen.
I agree. No, I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, love you, saved of the gospel. Say it.
Amen.
Say Merry Christmas. Because it's all about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's all about the sacrifice of Christ and His life and the lessons that we learned from Him.
Amen.
Such an awesome story. Such an awesome time.
Yes. Yes.
Merry
Christmas,
everyone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, and Christmas. Again, we thank you for tuning in, and we invite you back next week. Pastor, we're going to be giving you a call, so we need to get you on here so that you can host one of these. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Your time. Okay. Until next time we meet, remember, we love you, but God loves you most. God bless you,
Amen.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, ma'am. Merry Christmas, stage one.
face the dawn.